noticed a face or two that I don't recognize as our guest, thank you for being here. We just appreciate you so much. And if we can serve you in any way, as I'm sure I've already been told, if you can serve you in any way, we welcome the opportunity to do that. This morning, we are talking again about the essential ingredient for life. And let me say to you, if you've not heard this series, it would really be beneficial to you. These are online at therockvaldosta.org. You can click on download sermons or media and just listen to it straight there. But there are three of these messages so far, and it just really would benefit you to go back and listen to the other two sometime this week. It'll set the stage, because what we've been talking about is God's love as the essential ingredient for life, without which life is not complete. We use the example of a cake baked without flour, a cake baked without flour, and basically it comes to nothing. It is either a hard, flaky mess, or in most cases, it's just a runny mess. And life without God's love, and when I say love, I mean that love. I'm not talking about some squishy love. I'm talking about the love that is based on the character of God, the character of God, God's love, God's character, His love. And so this morning, I want to just kind of further that discussion a little bit. And let's begin by going to Ephesians chapter 3, read the verse that we have been reading for the last 2 weeks. Paul's praying here, and Paul says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that, being rooted and established in love, you may have power. Say power. You may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Lord, I pray that this morning you would come and allow us, Lord, again, to just for these few moments that we are here, to put aside everything else, to speak into our spirits about what your love means in our lives. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I have told you for 3 weeks, this verse speaks to the love of God as the main ingredient of life, that we grasp how high and how long and how wide and how deep His love is. And we talked about that. And the first thing that helps us to begin to process that, to begin to walk in that, is the idea of acceptance. You are loved unconditionally by God. Say amen. You are loved unconditionally by God. Remember, we talked about it, and finish this phrase with me. God loves you and? Let's say it again. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't be good enough to make Him love you more. He loves you all that you can possibly be loved. And you can't do anything to make Him take that love away from you. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And when you begin to accept that and begin to walk in that, then there's some power that happens. The second part of that I talked about last week, and that is transformation. Transformation. God's love, when you begin to accept God's love, it begins to transform you. It begins to change you. How many of you know love changes you? When you are loved, you are not the same. You are changed. You are transformed by that love. And we talked about it last week, about bringing everything to God's feast. Bringing it all to God's feast. The good, the bad, the ugly. Bringing it all to His feast. And let Him speak into that place in your life. And I had just so many comments back this week about how God had done that when individuals, things that they had held out forever and had not really put on the table, and God begins to transform that area of your life. I'm telling you, listen to me this morning, you are safe to bring every part to God, weak part, failure, parts that nobody else knows about. God loves you, and that makes it safe for you to bring that to the table, lay it before Him, and let Him transform and heal that place in you. God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. And then last week we learned God's love can change you and there is what? Plenty you can do about it. God's love can change you, and there's plenty you can do about it. And that's where you bring it to the feast and let God's love touch that place. And I just want to implore you again, if there is a place in your life you've not let God's love touch, He will, if you will do it, it will be transforming in your life. Find you a time, find you a place, and lay it before God. You are safe to let God touch those vulnerable places. It'll change you, it'll transform you. Having said that, when you accept God's love and transform God's love, it comes to then yet another part of the process, if you will. And I use the word integration. The reason I use that word, I looked for another word, but just no other word really truly gets to what I'm talking about. And this morning I want to talk with you about integration is the process of combining parts into a harmonious whole. The process of combining parts into a harmonious whole. In other words, the word mix would not work. Carrie, the word mix would not work because it wasn't thorough enough to explain what goes on in our life. The word combine is not even enough because it doesn't explain what happens when God's love thoroughly invades our life. But the word integration is the making of a whole. You've heard the word integer in mathematics, and it has to do with parts and being made into a whole. And so the idea, I want you to keep that in mind. The integration of God's love in our lives is the combining in such a way that there is this harmonious whole. This harmonious whole. Say it with me. God's love makes me whole. You got to get that again. God's love makes me whole. I want to talk with you about that this morning. There is this, throughout this text that we've been reading, there is this narrative that follows all the way through, and I want to show it to you, and then I want to center in on one phrase at the end. Notice this narrative all the way through this verse of God moving inside, living inside, dwelling inside of man. Notice in the first part there it says that his glorious riches, that word there, glorious, means the wealth of his glory. The wealth of his glory. So that the wealth of his glory may strengthen you with power. That word power literally means, when it says strengthen you with power, it means make you a new man. Make you a new man. Listen to me. God's love can make you a new man. God's love can make you a new woman. When you are fully integrated into God's love and his love is integrated in, it brings a new state. That's what the word literally means, a new state, that I'm not the old person. I'm not the old individual. God's love has made me a new person. And through, watch this, his spirit. The word there, spirit, literally means breath. Breath through his spirit inside or in your inner being. Do you see this narrative here that Paul is talking about? He's talking about God moving in, God dwelling on the inside, God making you a new man, making you a new woman, making you a new person, so much so that God's breath lives inside of you. Listen, you can't, we talked about it last week. You talk about transformation. When God breathes inside of you, you are transformed. You are made new in him. So there's this narrative of God moving in on the inside. The second place we see that narrative is as he follows up there in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell. The word there is reside or live. Dwell is not a temporary housing. Dwell is not a pup tent set up. Dwell is where he lives inside. He moves inside. He comes, watch this, in your hearts. Now here's what's interesting. Here's what I want to begin to come together for this morning. The word heart there is a very specific word in the original language. It means Christ will live or dwell, watch this, in your mind, will, emotions, and conscience. You got to ponder on that just for a moment. Because sometimes when we say God, Christ lives inside of our hearts, we think of it in such a generic way. In such an ambiguous way. And we don't think of and understand what it's saying, that Christ, when Christ moves inside of your heart, when you begin to begin integrated into his love and his love begins to be integrated into you, watch this, it lives in your mind, that is, you think different. It lives in your will, that is, your will, what you desire is different. It lives in your emotions, that is, how you feel is different. And it lives in your conscience, such that what you know is different. Listen to me this morning. When God transforms you, he transforms you completely. Mind, will, emotions, and conscience. And God's love is the only power that has the ability to transform man that way. But it's through him moving in. It's through him coming in. Inside and living inside of you. And all of this is in the context of his love. So I want you to get this narrative that Paul's talking about. He says you'll be strengthened through his spirit that lives inside of you. You'll be that Christ then will dwell, that is, in your hearts, being in your mind, your will, your emotions, and your conscience. That is, you are thoroughly, completely integrated by Christ, by the love of Christ. Then there's this last phrase, and here's where I want to just camp out just for a moment or two. This last phrase that finishes up, that you may be filled, somebody say full. That you may be filled, full to overflowing, to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, there is something that is natural and normal in our society, but it's just a pet peeve of mine. And maybe I should have brought some examples today. But how many of you know when you get something at the store, when you buy a package at the store anymore, it is not full? Yes. Chips, absolutely. You get, yeah, the family size, the big size. How much is in it? Like
half the bag.
Or not, yeah, like half the bag, man. I mean, you get a big old bag of Ruffles potato chips. You know, and you're going to feed, how many is in your family?
Five.
How much do you eat more or less? Do you eat the most? Mom's saying yes. But here's the thing. You get that bag of Ruffles potato chips. I mean, you got the big family size, right? You got five people in your family. And you got French onion dip. And ranch dip, and maybe some guacamole. You know what? Come on, now you know what I'm talking about. And then you open up that bag, and you're like, "Do what? It's not full. It's just, I mean, there's like this much." And when Ian opens the bag, he thinks, "What are y'all gonna eat?" It's not full. You get a bag of you get a box of Cheerios, man. There's about that much cherry, and the rest of it's like zero, empty, not there. The thing about God's love is it fills you full. It leaves no place when you surrender and are transformed by God's love. It leaves no place for air. It leaves no place for me. It fills my mind, my will, my emotions, my conscience. God loves, fills me full. What does it say? Full to the brim, to the overflowing part with God's love. He says that you may be filled. Somebody say full.
Full
of his love. No air, because you know, in us, what happens in that air is my mind gets to wondering. Or my will. I want to do what I want to do. Anybody ever had a three-year-old? A three-year-old wants to do what they want to do. And poor Paul and Brittany's got two that are approaching that. And both of them want to do what they want to do. Listen to me, that air that's in there in us, that my emotions, my feelings, what I feel, and then my conscience, that is what I know. God's love, though, wants to thoroughly, completely, totally feel all of that place in you. So to totally feel it, watch this, to the measure, the word there is full measure, that is to the brim, to be totally, completely full, watch this, of the fullness of God. Now, you got to think on that a moment. He wants to fill you with the fullness of God. Wait a minute. God, think about God. Think about God's expanse and how huge and how big he is. And God is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. And when you think about how big God is, but this verse here, that's what Paul says. He wants to fill you with the fullness of God. That is, he wants to fill completely and thoroughly, watch this, with everything that is necessary. That word fullness there means that God is not lacking anything. God is not lacking anything. And in the fullness of God, it means his love is sufficient. His love is enough. It leaves nothing lacking. It leaves no airspace. You are full when you are full of God, when you are full of his love. His love wants to fill the vacuum in your life. His love wants to fill the hole in your life. His love wants to fill that space of air in your life, full to overflowing. Watch this, with everything that you need in him. Say it with me. God's love is everything I need. It's his love is everything that you need. So there is this, the word there is integration. God's love, watch this, God's love doesn't want to come and just mix. God's love doesn't want to come and just mix with what's already there. He wants to integrate fully into your life so that you are integrated into him and he's integrated into you. Are you following what I'm saying? It is this harmonious combination. When God moves inside of me, it's not me or God. It's God moving and living inside of your life and my life. And His love, Paul says, there is a fullness, there is a completeness in that. What Paul is saying is this. Paul is praying that they will be made completely new by the power of God's Spirit in them, that Christ will live in their mind, will, and emotions and conscience such that they are filled wholly and flooded with God himself. That's what that word means, flooded with God himself. Listen to me. When you have come to know God's love, when you have experienced transformation of God's love such that your entire being is filled with his divine presence, such that you are flooded by God himself, then God's love begins to be integrated. There becomes this harmonious whole inside of you, and that is being integrated into God's love. I want you to listen to me this morning. God's love makes you whole because it fills you wholly, totally, and completely. That's what Paul says is the goal. That's the goal and his prayer for them, that they would be filled in that way, in that way. See, here's the thing though. If we are filled in that way, full in that way, such that we are full of God and our lives have been integrated into God, there comes this question of now what? Now what? In fact, I posted it last night. I want you to remember this statement. I've had a statement for you. I want you to remember this statement this week, just like the statements that we have been with. Remember this statement. God's love, it is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? Remember what we've talked about? God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. God's love will change you and there's plenty you can do about it. This morning I want you to know this. God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? Because here's the thing. Paul, if I am full of God, if my mind, will, emotions, and conscience have been transformed by God's love so that I am full, there has to be something that comes out of that. That by itself cannot just stand. That is not enough. And so I asked the question last night on Facebook. I said, God's love is in you. Now, what are you going to do about it? And Tom replied, Tom said, I think it has something to do with sharing. And Tom, you're close. You are real close, but no cigar. Here's what I want you to begin to understand tonight. Listen to me. Or this morning is that it is more than just sharing God's love. When the point of transformation is not simply to experience God's love, it is for you to become God's love. Wait a minute, Pastor. You see, the point of God's love moving inside of us is to make us like Him. And God is, we're told in the scripture, God is love. And that love is transformation. In other words, God is characterized by love. And He wants you and I not just to share His love, Tom, but to be changed and transformed such that we become like Him. We become characterized by His love. He doesn't want me, Joanne, just to experience His love. He wants me to be characterized by His love so that my mind, will, emotions, and conscience, my feelings, my desires, what I know is impacted such that I'm characterized by God's love. It is not just enough. It's not just enough to experience God's love. And I know this past couple of weeks, man, it's been wonderful, hasn't it? God loves me, and there's nothing I can do about it. Man, that's just an incredible, encouraging thought. And then last week, God's love transforms me, and there's plenty I can do about it. And when I bring it to the feast and lay it on the table, He transforms me. What incredible, encouraging thoughts there are. I have news for you this morning. It goes even a step further. God, the point of transformation is that you would become characterized by love like God is. In other words, see, God is love and we are made in His image and Christ transforms us by our love. Therefore, watch this. Love is not just something we do. It is who we are. There we go. There we go. See, if you stop short at transformation, that you might think that love is just something that we do. But love is not something. Love becomes when God moves in that thoroughly, when I am integrated, when God's love has been integrated into my life so that Christ lives in my heart, that is my mind, will, emotions, and conscience have been thoroughly transformed by His love, then what comes out of that is characterized by the love of God. I become characterized like God is, and God is characterized by love. Now, let me just carry this a step further. You become love, but not only that, watch this. You learn to love. See, the point of love is that we learn to love. We sometimes think we are just simply the recipient of love, but what God loves us, that He make us like Him so that we then can learn to love. I news for you this morning. Our natural self is to look out for self, but watch this. When transformation gives way to integration, the focus comes off of me and becomes we. Let me say that again. When transformation gives way to integration, the focus gets off of me and becomes we. That is, that I learn to love then. I become characterized by love, and I learn to love. The essential ingredient to life is love. And to learn to love is to learn to live fully. I'm telling you this morning, there is no one who lives as full as the one who learns to love like God loves. When you love in that way, you find freedom, you find hope, you find joy. I'm telling you, when you learn to love like God loved, you can step over obstacles, you can go through walls. Why? Because God's love is enough. It is sufficient. When I'm integrated by His love, when I'm totally transformed inside and integrated by His love, watch this. God's love shifts from me to we. When love is demonstrated, it is a giving of oneself for another. Christ gave His love for a life for us, and it transforms us such that we then, at the core, want to give ourselves for others. Listen to me. Only love is capable of making us want that. It's transformed my desires, my will, my feelings. Here's the thing, though. Watch this. If love is what connects us to God, if we are fully and totally transformed by love, my mind, will, emotions, and conscience have been totally transformed by God's love. Watch this. And that connects me to God. And we are connected. We are integrated with one with another. Then watch this. Then it offers us a life. Here it is. It offers us a life that we no longer control. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I no longer can choose who I love and who I ignore. Now it gets real, and I know what you're thinking. You're like, Pastor, you've been preaching for 2.5 weeks to get us to right here. And now the hammer. Now the hammer. But you see, if my mind, will, emotions, and conscience have been thoroughly integrated with the love of God, if God lives inside of me, if he is the one that sits on the throne of my heart, if he is the one that sits in my heart, then I don't have a life that I can choose then. I can't choose when I'm going to love and who I'm going to love and what circumstance I'm going to love in. I have to love as God loves. But listen to me, there is a freedom in that. There is a power in that. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, I know it in my spirit, that when you begin to learn to love like God loves and let his love control, I'm telling you, some chains and some bondages will break off of your life. Why? Because there's one power in the world it's the love of God that will destroy sin, that will destroy bondages. He did it on the cross, and that love still destroys bondages and yokes and chains today. God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? There is this becoming love and this learning to love, and there's this shifting to love to the place that now I connect with him and I no longer have a life that I can choose. See, when we love, then love draws us into community such that your life touches mine and your pain touches mine and your afflictions touch me and your anxieties touch me and mine touch you in such a way. Why? Because love connects us, one with God and one with the other and one with those around us. Let me show you. There is a scripture. And I'm not going to preach on this whole passage, but I just, not this morning, but I just want to read through it, and I want you to hear that this passage puts into context what we're talking about here. John, in 1 John, it's not on the screen, but if you're taking notes, write it down. You can look at it later, or if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. In fact, some of you are turning there. I'll give you just a moment. And I'm not going to preach on the whole passage. I just want to read through it a little this morning. This says what I'm talking about. John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. This loving like God loves, but because you've been transformed by love and because God's love is in you and love comes from God, then you can love one another. I got news for you this morning. I said I wasn't going to preach on it. I'm going to try not to preach on the whole passage, but I got news for you this morning. Listen to me. There's some of us, or at least some part of all of us, that is unlovable. Hello. Come on now. But God says, love one another. Paul, John says, love one another because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Wow. Think on that a moment. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed he loved among us. He sent this one, his only son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives. Listen to me. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made what? Complete in us. There has to be this. What are you going to do about it? God's love is in you, and there is this. It's more, Tom, going back to what you said, it's more than sharing. It is this becoming love, and then becoming and able to learning to love like God lived, and like God loved. And again, I'm not talking about some wimpy love. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about some. Anybody ever shook hands with a man and it was just a limp? You know what I'm talking about. And you're just like, oh, man. No, God's love is. Remember, remember, this love we're talking about is not a romantic love or a filio. That is a brotherly love. This is the love based on the character of God. This is a strong, firm, powerful love of God that lives inside of us. And it what? It Paul said it here, John said it here, his love makes us complete. You know why much of the time we don't love? It's because we aren't complete. That's why we withhold love. It's because there's a hole, there's something in me. But Ben, when I'm filled with God's love, when I'm made complete, then I can begin to learn to love like God loves. Wow. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. I'm at verse 13. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in him. Here it is. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. You know and rely on the love God has for us. Just another a few more verses. God is love. Verse 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. There it is. There's the integration. Do you see it? Let me read it again. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God, there is this integration, this harmonious mixing together when Jesus has come and lives inside of my heart, inside of my life. This is how love is made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Do you know what he's saying there? Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying what we're talking about here. When you are complete, do you know why? You know where fear comes from? This incompleteness in us. But when I am totally filled with his love, that incompleteness is gone and it has what? It drives out all fear. Doesn't mean I won't ever be afraid. It does mean I won't live in fear. Just a couple more. We love because he first loved us. Here it is. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Do you know that verse? That it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. And like I said, I'm not going to preach on the whole thing. But as I read through it, did you hear what he's saying? There's this integration, this completeness of love that then translates into more than sharing. It translates into becoming like him, loving like him, and learning to love like him. See, God's love is in you. Now there's something that you must do about it. You cannot accept God's love, surrender to it, obey it, be transformed by it, and not do something with it. The definitions simply do not go together. There is no way to be that full, that integrated by God's love, and then not begin to become like him, characterized by love, demonstrating that love, beginning to learn to love. And it connects us with life in a way that we cannot be connected in any other way. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Here's the main idea, the whole message this morning that I want you to see, that I want you to hear this morning. Learn to love as God loved you. Learn to love as God loved you. And then you will begin to live in God's love, and God's love will begin to live inside of you. Is that a true statement this morning? Learn to love as God loved you. Then you will begin to live in God's love, and God's love will begin to live inside of you. And what difference does that make? That changes everything. If my mind, will, emotions, and conscience have been thoroughly filled and integrated with God's love, then it changes how I look, and it changes my look from an inward look to an outward look. It makes me see others differently. It makes me want to live for others and connecting to others. Listen to me. In fact, you know, there are some verses in the Bible that talks about this, and there's not time this morning to just list them all out, but we are told in one place that we need to love God with all our mind, all our heart, and to love him completely and totally. Well, God's love is actually what enables us to do that. We're told in another place that we are to love each other, and sometimes the other is lovable, and sometimes the other is not lovable, and yet we are told we have to love love one another. Well, what does that? God's love in me is what helps me to do that. I can't do that on my own. God's love does that. We're told that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. As ourself. We talked about this on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. We need to love our neighbor as ourself. And man, when you begin to unpack that and realize what that means and how we have that love my neighbor as myself, right? That I'm to love in that way. And then we're told in another place, love your enemy. Listen to me. The only way that happens is if I love like God loved. I love like God loved. There is this integration. It goes from accepting that God loves me and there's nothing I can do about it, to understanding that God's love will transform me and there's plenty I can do about it and bring every part of me to Him so He transformed me thoroughly, completely, to this morning, this place of God's love is in you. Now, what are you going to do about it? I rarely do this, but I have just, it's about four sentences. As I was just going through this message, and I journal as I study, I also journal during my personal time. And as I was, I've been studying through this message this morning, and I looked back in a place that I wrote, and I just want to, this is, because when you come to this, it's like, okay, God, what do I do with this now? What do I do with this now? And my now what moment, is kind of verbalized in just a piece of my devotion, just three or four sentences. Early in the morning, and I'm just thinking on what this means for me. And I just began to write down, learning, here it is, learning to love reconnects me to God. Because God is love. Learning to love reconnects me to God. It reconnects me to humanity. Because we are all created in the image of God. Right? It reconnects me to creation because He is the Creator God. Reconnects me to myself because I am loved by God. It reconnects me to others because I am made to love others. And then I wrote this, oh Lord, help me to learn to love like You love. Help me to learn to love like You love. There are times I need to be reconnected to God and reconnected to humanity. You know what? We live in a dark, cynical world. We do. We live in a dark, cynical world. And it is easy to put up walls and cut off and say, that's them and this is me. We can do it regionally or we can do it personally. That's them and this is me. But love reconnects me to humanity and understands that God loves them, the other. Reconnects me to creation because He is the Creator. Reconnects me to myself. Oh man, to know that God loves me. Reconnects me to others because I'm made to love. Oh, Lord, help me to learn to love like You loved. That, my friend, is a prayer that will thoroughly and completely integrate God's love into your life. I want to be integrated with His love. I don't want to just be transformed. I want it to be integrated in my life so there's this harmonious whole inside of me that I can become love and learn to love and demonstrate that love and walk in that love. Amen? God's love. God's love. The most powerful power in creation is God's love. Not some romantic, fluffy, flowery thing. Firm, powerful love of God that changes everything. So now what are you going to do about it? Yeah? What are you going to do about it? You have to do something with it. You have to let it thoroughly integrate your mind, will, emotions, and conscience such that it transforms you. You become love. You learn to love. And you demonstrate that love. Stand with me. God, we've been talking about love. for 3 weeks now, and we've talked about accepting that love, that you love us and there's nothing we can do about it. God, that love keeps going and keeps going. It's unconditional. We thank you for that. We talked last week about that your love changes us, transforms us, God, and there's plenty we can do about it, Lord, and we celebrated, and many this week have written me and texted me about how they celebrated that they let you into a place that they never had before, and your love changed that place. Your love transformed that place, God. Bondages and chains were broken off. This morning, God, we come to this place, Lord, that your love is in us, lives inside of us. So now what are we going to do about it? God, I pray that that question this week will not be a casual one or a Sunday one, but will be a life one, Lord God, that what is it, Lord, and that we learn to love as you loved. Oh, God, help us to learn to love as you love. Won't you just ask him in your own way right now? It's just kind of a closing prayer. Won't you just ask, Lord, help me to learn to love as you love. Come on, just do that. We're going to take just a moment here. We're not going to be long, but just a moment, just 1 minute here, about 60 seconds here. Lord, help me to learn to love like you love. Lord, help us to become love and characterized by your love, Lord. Let your love transform our mind, will, emotions, and conscience, Lord, in such a way that we are characterized by love and we learn to love as you love, Lord. So that fully, the full measure of your love is in us, God, and we are integrated with your love in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Help us to learn to love as you love, so that we can truly live in your love and your love live in us. God, we pray, Lord, that your presence in us, Lord, will transform and change the world around us, both locally and in a global way, God, your love in our lives. We thank you and we praise you for it. Lord, if there's one this morning, just feel, Lord, this morning, there's some this morning that are struggling. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to dismiss, but I got to pause here for a moment. Some that are struggling still to put every place on the table. I got to tell you this morning, you can trust God's love. There is nothing that in your life that will change his love for you. You can trust his love. Put that place on the table, whatever it might be. Bring it to the feast and let him transform that place so that you truly can learn to love as God loved. God, I pray this morning they'll be bold enough, courageous enough, God. Have enough faith, Lord, to trust you with that place. Trust you with that place, Lord. This week, God, I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Learn to love as God loved. Then you will live in God's love and his love will live in you. God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. God's love can change you. There's plenty you can do about it. God's love is in you. Now what are you going to do about it? I pray this week that indeed you'll be integrated with God's love. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.